When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Your Honor, we the jury find the defendant Sweet Tango Apples guilty on all counts of being the crispiest, sweetest, zestiest, most delicious tasting apple you can buy.
Order! Order in this courtroom! Bailiff, come back here. Where are you going?
I'm going with them. I want some Sweet Tango Apples too.
You love a great mystery, but not in the produce aisle. Be sure to reach for Sweet Tango, the most delicious tasting apple money can buy. Investigate where you can get yours at sweettango.com.
It's 12:30, and something has woken you up. Was it a bump within your bedside closet? If you peer into the darkness where your shirts normally hang, will a pair of glowing red eyes be looking right back? Was it just the pipes settling? Or is it a shape-shifting shadow creature making its way up your stairs? Did the wind force a tree branch to scratch at the window? Or was it some long-clawed nightmare crawling to perch on top of your roof? A majority of the cultures around the world have tales of horrors that stalk the night. From the goat-legged Krampus that carries away naughty children on Christmas Eve, to El Coco, the faceless terror that threatens to snatch up those kids who stay up past their bedtime. What common traits and motivations do these terrors hold? How can we explain the reason for their existence across all of human civilization? This case file, join the theorists as they check for what's under your bed and leave the hallway light on for the Boogeyman.
Not there. Welcome to Alien Theorist Theorizing. Case file 146, The Boogeyman. Raiden's gone. I'm Zell.
I'm Dan.
I'm Andrew.
And I'm Byron.
We got Byron back.
Trade in, trade up.
Yep. Upgraded the podcast from nose breathing, chip eating.
Nasally.
Nasally. Number
so
one.
Nasally.
Got rid of him. Cashed him in, brought back Byron by popular demand.
So you guys no longer have to feel guilty into voting him into being number one.
Nope. Yeah.
All right.
Forget
no
about
him. Part of the podcast. Yep. Cut the dead weight.
Yep.
It's not that far a jump from one to zero. So.
He'll be back, I'm sure, next week.
Meh.
We had a.
Yeah, we could take him back or not.
We needed a break.
Agreed.
Anyways, this week we're talking about the Boogeyman, the origins, some of our favorite. But before that, let's do a little space news. Feels weird saying that after all these episodes. Anyways, let's start with the best news story in a while. How will astronauts poop on the moon? New NASA challenge aims to flush this mystery. Great title.
I mean, I'm confused. Literally. Didn't Howard Wolowitz figure this out?
I thought he had sorted it out. That
was one of his great accomplishments. I figured this out a long time ago, like fucking 12 seasons ago.
What was his solution?
I don't know.
Oh, no, he created one. He had to go up there to fix it or install it or something. That's why he went up there.
I don't remember. It's been a long time since I watched Big Bang Theory, but... I guess the way astronauts currently shit and piss on the space station is pretty brutal. So there's a competition you can enter I think anyone can enter, and it's pretty much you have to design a new toilet for the space station.
So let's go into detail here. Like, Zell, I'm curious, how do they go to the bathroom up there?
So from what I've read quickly, there's like, well, most astronauts have been male, so it's probably easier for them. So I'm going to say how I find, they pretty much pee into like a condom looking tube, suction tube, and they shit into like a little box with like a suction fan. And sometimes I guess that it doesn't really pack in there that well. So you got to put on a rubber glove and give her a little pack, and then it's put in a plastic bag, and then it's shipped out on a cargo thing and burned up in the atmosphere later on.
So you're telling me these guys, you put a condom, kind of like a condom catheter on, and there's a suction device to it?
That's where exactly my mind went. Like, you're up there in spice.
Guys are going to be spending way too much time with fucking John.
That's it.
Guys are going to be taking full advantage of that
shit. Dude, that's it. Look, that's a pee catcher. If you're not watching the live stream, it looks like a condom, a really heavy gauge condom.
That's a fucking condom cat. Oh, I wonder, does everybody get their own though? I would really hope they don't have to share that fucking thing.
Oh.
You just rinse it out.
Yeah, it's inside out. Good to go again.
Everything on the space station is pretty sterile anyway. So.
Yeah, it has to Gross. Be. Anyways, that's what they currently do. So if you are, if you got some engineering skills, you can apply for this. And the first place gets 20,000, second place, 10, and the third place, 5.
And do you get to sell your product to them as well? Because obviously there's going to be a shitload of money in that.
It says winning design, so you get 20 grand for your design. It doesn't seem like that much for a billion-dollar program. But
no.
I mean, maybe it's just to gather like public interest. Maybe they already have one and they're just trying to gather people.
Fine-tune it or something like that, maybe.
Anyways.
All the fucking all the male astronauts are like, no. Suppress it. We like our fucking ween suction.
It's good as it
don't
is.
Get rid of my
We're up there for a long time. It's all we got. Don't ruin this for us.
Anyways, the design is calling for the design to have to be no more than 4.2 cubic feet or 0.12 cubic meters and shouldn't be any louder than 60 decibels. I don't know why the volume matters up there. If it's too loud, other than astronauts get a little mad at you, or
you got to poop in discreet, man. You don't want everybody to know that you're taking a shit.
Man, I've done shits louder than 60 decibels. Oh, guaranteed.
Yeah. It's got to hold 1 gallon of... Or 1 liter of liquid waste and 500 grams of solid waste
per session.
Also capture 114 grams of menstrual blood per day. These are the requirements for the design.
Mmm. Tasty.
Should also be able to clean it with like within a 5-minute turnaround time.
Yeah, what if you got two guys up there really got to go? Anyways.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Buddy's in there with, you know, let's say Braden's in space. You know, he's abusing the suction machine. Everybody's fucking pounding on the door being like, come on, Braden, you're blowing it, buddy.
Literally.
We get it.
That's all I got about that one. Dan, I think you had a story about two colliding black holes.
Right. Somewhere in deep space, we have detected a collision of another collision of black holes, which this one was actually interesting because it actually seemed to produce a flash of light, which is unusual for an event of this magnitude. Usually you can have a black hole kind of a quasar, which will give off like bursts of light, which is kind of normal, but the intensity and the brightness of this flash is what was so remarkable for this one event. So what scientists have gathered from the information that they've observed from where they think the two black holes either collided was like there's one supermassive black hole. And then around that black hole were two smaller black holes orbiting.
Trifecta.
And they think somehow these two black holes collided with each other and then forming another black hole. And then the force of that collision sent it spinning off through either groups of gases and things like that out in space. And then that's actually what causes the light, not the collision itself, but the force of like the black hole, just, you know, it's massive amounts, like unimaginable amounts of energy released when the two black holes collide. So, I mean, when black holes collide, we've seen it. It's like it warps space. It just about warps space and time. So the energy from that collision, you know, ripping through clouds of, you know, interstellar gas.
Well, they're obviously trying to create some type of fucking black hole Megazord, so it makes sense.
All right.
That'd be the way to do it. That's unlimited power right there. So
that's what I'm saying.
These are the same black holes what we talked about last year that collided, and actually that was like the first recorded gravitational wave last year.
Right. It's the same. They use the same equipment to record these ones as well.
Yeah. So that's pretty cool. Yeah, that was like the 100-year anniversary of Einstein predicting that they existed. And then last year, boom.
Right. It's from last year. And then they just published the paper like this month.
Yeah, just released it. So that's pretty cool.
Pretty neat.
Because, yeah, they always tell you like nothing escapes a black hole. But in this case.
A black hole escaped a black hole?
A black hole. Two black holes colliding with a third black hole allows light to escape the black holes.
Just like rattled them out and just sort of the light fell out.
You heard it here. Takes three black holes
to create
light. That's it. They get a little light out. Speaking of black holes, the closest black hole to Earth has been spotted 1,000 light years away. Shit, I lost it.
So it's pretty close. Far this away. One galactic close. Neighborhood.
Oh, there it is. 4.2 times as massive as the sun. And it's about, I guess the closest one known before was 3,200 light years away. So they're not as distant.
They're getting closer.
Getting closer. Next thing you know, when's this going to start chewing through Earth?
Fuck.
Bunch That'd of black holes showing up in our solar system.
Yeah.
That would wrap up 2020 nicely.
Yeah. Next up, August 2020, black hole detected in solar system.
Fuck. Do us a favor.
Jupiter Hurry is up. Now a black hole.
Yeah. Jupiter collapses in and on itself. That's pretty much that. That's all. That was not that cool, actually. That's all I had for space news. Anyone else?
I got nothing.
Andrew, you got some killer space news you got sitting on the tip of your tongue there? Or?
You know, I'm a pretty big space guy. Everybody knows that about me.
Love space.
I love space. I'd be the first guy to hop on a fucking ship and get right up there. But, you know, surprisingly today, I know it's shocking. I don't have anything.
That's fine. We'll let
Sorry
it.
To let you guys down.
No, we'll let it slide.
I know you come to me for the fucking premium space information.
We come to you for the science, the physics, and
yeah,
the whole right? that whole avenue.
I think I'm known for that, if you know what I mean.
I know what you mean. Anyways, that's it for space news this week. Let's get to the topic at hand. Case file 146, the boogeyman.
Boogity boogity.
John Lee Hooker, the boogeyman.
Everyone was told a tale of a boogeyman when you were a little kid.
Yeah.
Don't go.
Yeah.
Don't
listen.
Don't step off your bed after 10 p.m. or the boogeyman pulls you to hell.
Dude, my jiddo.
Your what?
Which is Lebanese for grandpa, jiddo. That's what we call your grandpa.
Yep.
He'd always tell us. He'd be like, beware of the boogeyman. We called him Bubba. So Bubba would come and get you if you were fucking around. And of course, as kids, we'd fuck around. And every time we'd fuck around, Baba would never come. It would be Jiddo with his belt. And he'd beat our asses. And every time we're like, bring on Baba, man. Like, I would much rather deal with Baba than getting whooped in the ass with this giant belt. Like, every time, like, please, please. But no, just Jiddo and his belt. It's terrifying.
Pretty much every culture around the world has a story of some type of boogeyman.
That's supposed to keep kids in line, keep them in check.
Or you get eaten, pretty much. And how savage of a tale is that? Like, hey, you step out of your room, step off your bed after 10 p.m.
Something scary on your bed is going to come out and get you.
You're going to get fucked fucking up, eaten.
It's fucked.
Parents are crazy. Parents are actually brutal to kids. Fucking Santa Claus, little bullshit, Tooth Fairy, Easter Bunny, boogeymans. Like,
listen, when my kid's old enough to understand, I'm going to have a camera in my house that's not even real. It's going to be one of those fake little dome cameras. I'm going to be like, listen, Santa himself
is watching.
Came down and installed this shit. This is his thing. He's installed this. You got to understand. He knows when you're good. He knows when you're bad. He's watching it 24/7, dude. You better not fuck around.
You need like a board that he keeps just adding everything. I saw you do this. And then in nice fancy writing or something. That was Santa Claus's writing, not mine.
I couldn't handle that stress as a kid, man. Fuck that.
So pre-technological revolution, that's pretty much the impetus for the boogeyman. is a system of control, or that's how most folklorists and most anthropologists, cultural anthropologists, put on the boogeyman's significance. Like Zell said, every country, every culture has some sort of boogeyman or bogeyman. They might not call it that. The term boogeyman, I think they trace back to like Middle English. So that's like 16th century, maybe like right after or right around the Norman invasion of England. And so you have this, some other academics also argue that it might be a kind of shortening of the word buggyman, because there was buggyman, like, which was
the guys that would walk around with the corpses,
right? Oh, so like you had the buggyman, yeah, who would walk around with the corpses from the Black Plague,
right?
You know, you would tell children, if you weren't good, this is what happened to you.
Well, even like you look at the word bogey, like we're not looking at the golf term, but the term bogey actually means something that causes fear among a lot of people, often without any reasonable explanation. And like that's pulled right out of the dictionary. And like Dan was saying, like this word, the first time we've seen this word printed was in the 1500s. That's the first time. And that's in English, right? But there's cultures that date way, way back, like Sumerian times, that talk about some type of fucking demon that feasts on children, right?
Yeah, I think the farther back you go, like the more terrifying the tales to get.
Totally, man.
That's because back then, if you think about it, you know, survival, the world was a lot harsher back then. Yeah. As much as we like to think today that the world is very cruel, it was much crueler,
yeah,
back then. You know, well, especially when you had to think about that your children, your family are your main source of labor in a lot of situations. So you definitely wouldn't want your kids wandering off into the dark woods to trip and break their legs or get eaten by bears.
Well,
so
well,
you definitely would tell them, yeah, you need to stay on the farm.
Well, look at like, let's say 2020, we invented the boogeyman or the bogeyman or whatever you want to call him. What does the 2020 boogeyman do for you? Well, you know, he takes away your iPhone for fucking 2 weeks and takes away your Xbox privileges.
No!
You know, like,
not my controller, not my controller. No. Well, you guys joke about it. But actually there would be cultural anthropologists and folklorists that would argue that the new boogeyman is pretty much true crime. Like any part of true crime or any of the serial killers that we kind of romanticize or we think about, or you kind of try to humanize, like these serial killers are like the origins of the new boogeyman.
John,
you know,
Wayne
when
Gacy.
You watch true crime, you're thinking about this could happen to me, and you know, and you watch this, and these are the new cautionary tales for us in the modern era.
Sure, yeah,
that's totally. As a 33-year-old man, that's the shit that goes through my head. I'm fucking watching my back. I'm fucking sprinting out of a dark room as I close the lights and run to my bedroom because I'm terrified of fucking John Wayne Gacy running after me in a clown costume.
It's true. The whole time I was kind of reading about all these like different boogeymen, I'm like, I wonder if like there was this fucking serial kid killing murderer like way back in the day, and he just morphed into like
supernatural.
Over the years and the generations, now he grew claws and he grew fangs and he was a demon. He lived under your bed, but really he was just this fucking. The original story was he came through your window, grabbed your kid, took him away. You didn't even know, and so a lot of these stories, I'm like, I wonder like how many like of these are based off an ancient Ted Bundy.
Because it makes sense. Like if the kids were in bed and like their brother got taken, the way kids' imaginations go, it could be that they could see, like it could be the shadows moving, and that could be where the claws are coming from, big long fingers and all this sort of shit and coverage. Like it makes sense.
Or parents, as we said, are just pretty much criminals to their kids and scare them to shit.
The thing I need this guy to understand, though, if he is out there snatching people, kids mostly, I need you to understand, if you're listening right now, I am just a short adult man. I am not a child. Do not come and snatch me. Okay? I'm a man. I have a facial hair.
He's a grown-ass man. He's got a beard.
Please. Don't take me, please. Take other people. Kids.
One of the common threads that runs through a lot of the boogeyman legends is the one that, well, like you said, they snatch up kids. There's a lot of like kind of Eastern European and European concepts of the boogeyman where it's like they're Schwarzer Mann, which is like German, which I think really translate, so almost literally translate to like the sack man. Like, so there's a lot of, like, you have Der Schwarzeman, and you also have, we've talked about him during our Santa Claus episode, Krampus, like the bizarro Santa Claus, the, you know, goat, the goat-legged demon who comes and steals bad kids and puts them in a sack and takes them off to go cook them and eat them and things like that. So there is, you know.
What about the Belschnickel?
The Belschnickel?
Yeah.
It's like there are literally hundreds of boogeymen, and some of them have share common traits and across cultures, and, you know, stealing kids is one of them. Again, that's what most folklorists would attribute it to, is like when you're trying to get a 5-year-old to listen to you and go to bed, there's only one thing that's going to get them to do that. And that is, you know, fear. You use their overactive imagination against them. And you say that if you don't go to bed, you know, some goat heeled demon is going to come and eat you. So
but why would you want to go to stay bed quiet if there's a boogeyman under your bed your closet? Like
that's true. How do you fuck you sleep in that?
Yeah, but that's what, you know what I mean? You do that, and what happens is you raise fucking pussies like me that are terrified of everything. Not a good idea. I will bribe my child to go to bed. I will bribe him. Go to bed. We'll buy you something cool tomorrow.
You get more
Ninja Turtles, something cool, like, you know, yep. Spider-Man. Go to fucking bed. Nobody's coming to eat you, okay? I want you to be okay with turning off the lights and walking like a grown man out of the room, not running up the stairs.
That was funny. But so let's go. We had like a little list going, and some, like, so we talk about a lot of them are taking children, but a lot of cultures actually it just ends up being humans, and then these fucking boogeymen or these creatures end up just like eating your liver and drinking your blood. So it's not just for kids. Some of the cultures actually go. It's just anyone who wanders too close to the boogeyman, depending on what name it is.
I wonder if anybody tells stories about the Zelznick coming for them. Comes to sneak in their bed. Well,
as I mentioned, these stories start somewhere.
Like the boobs?
These stories start somewhere and eventually take hold later on into myth. So, and if another 600 years, you can look back and see what's happened.
There's some small village up in a couple of villages up in like Hungary that talk about the Zelznick. He comes for you at night and take you away and drain you of blood, and there's nothing left.
He steals your blood and uses it for guitar skills.
You must leave on your windowsill 5 McCormick bananas.
Rips out your intestines, draws them out, and uses them as strings.
Instead of fucking garlic. You will be
safe for one night.
Instead of garlic, you just put vegetables around your neck.
I eat vegetables.
Sure.
Asshole.
All right.
Anyways, let's take our first one. Let's go to Japan. They have a creature called the Kappa. What do we know about that guy?
Can you pull a picture up of him, Zell?
Well, there's I would call it an artist rendering.
Yeah, it's a good pick.
Kind of looks like, if you look closely, it's a, what does it look like? Like a frog with hands, kind of?
Looks like a frog with Braden's haircut.
A little balding patch on the top.
A little friar tuck, yeah. Good look.
Well, if Braden in that bald patch had a small little dent as well, which held water, then he would resemble a kappa pretty much 99%.
I think he does.
Right. So the kappa had it's a mythical creature. It's like, I guess it's like a water demon, right? Pretty much. Is that what they consider?
Yeah. They're like they're human or a little bit shorter than human size. I would kind of be like water goblins. That's what I would kind of call them.
A water dobby.
Water deity or something like that. They're said to inhabit, you know, rivers or ponds or things like that. And they kind of lurk in the mud on the sides of these bodies of water. And if you, would run across these, Japan, these things are like immensely popular. Like everybody kind of knows a kappa. Like you'll see them in popular culture, you'll see them on signs, you'll see them everywhere, and like their history goes all the way back to like 300. I don't know, the first time they see them mentioned is somewhere in like 320 BC. Talking about these kinds of creatures that inhabit the waterways. they're depicted as like either they have like a turtle shell on their back, or it's at least like the green bumpy skin. And especially the most important part is the little water dent they have in the top of their head, which is usually formed like a cup. And the only way to kill these or weaken the kappa is to get them to empty out the water that is inside their little cup on top of their head.
So you gotta spill their cup.
Wait, they have right. There's no lid on it. It's just
open cup. Water that's kind of like slushes around up in there. It's not like a cap or anything.
I read how to beat a kappa if you're in Japan, especially because like what they call it, like a sumo bow. If you challenge like a sumo wrestler, you have to bow real, real low.
Right. There's legends that talk about how kappas are real sticklers for protocol. And so that if you bow to them, you know, respectfully, or you do like a sumo bow in order to initiate the one you would do to like initiate a sumo match or something like that, you would end up spilling the water out of his head.
So it's not very smart.
Konnichiwa, onomai wa nandesuka. Give him a fucking sumo bow. What's up, sucker? Go play in your mud now, bro.
The kappa has numerous weaknesses, and I don't know how these things are even really scary at all. Apparently, their arms are not very strongly attached to their body, so you would be able to rip one off. Apparently, and you bargain with the kappa in order to be like, I'll give you your arm back if you leave me the fuck alone. So I don't like that works somehow.
I'm going to rip his arm off and scoop the water out of the cup on his head with his own hand.
It sounds like you could do it. Or
toss his fucking arm in the river and be like, take a hike, bud. Or kick rocks.
You could just make friends with the kappa, I guess, by offering him a cucumber. That's what I heard.
Oh, man, I love cucumbers too.
They love cucumbers. You off the guy a cucumber.
Fucking love cucumbers.
What a fucking weird boogeyman.
No, he's cool, man. This is, you know what? Compared to all the other ones, this is the kind of boogeyman I could hang out with.
If he does get you, his favorite meal is human liver and blood. So.
Right. Which, they like your human and liver. And, you know, Andrew, you work in the metalcore profession, so you could definitely confirm that the easiest way to get to your liver is through your butt. Right? Because that's where the kappa goes. It shoves its arm tongue up your anus and then rips it out from there.
Oh, man. Really?
Yeah.
You can eat your liver with some fine fucking fava beans and a nice Chianti.
A bit of onions,
probably. And regional. But one of the interesting things is that people attribute this part of the legend to the like when they would retrieve corpses, like drowned corpses, they would find a lot of times that the anus, because they're dead, they're corpses, right? So your anus, you know, all those muscles in your sphincters
all loosen up. Relax.
Even though that would be something that happens on all dead bodies. But people,
well, unless they're floating around in a water tank, Dan, because sometimes there's vents in these water tanks. And their anus could get sucked up to that vent, as we learned in a previous case file, and they prolapse.
Right. Or it was taken by a kappa. So
that's true.
It's a water tank.
To Lisa Lamb.
It's a body of water.
Oh, she got taken by a kappa.
There's just a fucking random kappa hanging out in LA in a fucking water tank. Seems legit.
Could be.
Could be.
We're on to something.
Solved. That's but nonetheless, if you get taken by one of these, you're fucked. So,
yeah. But before we get into another one, we should probably take a little beer break, eh? What do you think?
I think Thursday. A beer break would be. Yeah, you know what? I'm empty. Let's take a quick beer break. We'll be right back.
Look, you like Dan, and you got a trip to Thailand coming up, and you want to impress the locals? Well, then you want Rosetta Stone. It's been the trusted expert for 30 years with millions of users and 25 different languages offered. It's got fast language acquisition. Rosetta Stone immerses you in many ways. No English translation, so you really learn to speak, listen, and think in that language. It's like having a personal trainer for your accent. It's convenient, flexible learning anytime, anywhere. Learn on the go with mobile app or at your desktop on your own schedule. Rosetta Stone has amazing value. Lifetime membership has all 25 languages for any and all trips and language needs in life. That's a lifetime access to 25 language courses Rosetta Stone offers for 50% off.
Sure, there's competitors to Rosetta Stone, But Rosetta Stone offers more languages and a lifetime membership. You could go over to Babbel and get 60% off, but it's not for a lifetime. That's why we're promoting Rosetta Stone today. All right, Theorites, don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. Alien Theorist Theorizing listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off, unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your damn life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/today or look for the link in the show notes. Peace!
Your Honor, I'd like to present to the ladies and gentlemen of the jury with Exhibit B, a bag of Sweet Tango apples.
Mmm, boy, these apples are delicious.
And zesty, and sweet.
Best I ever tasted.
Your Honor, I object.
Overruled. Court dismissed. We need to recess to the grocery store for some Sweet Tango apples.
You love a great mystery, but not in the produce aisle. Be sure to reach for Sweet Tango, the most delicious tasting apple money can buy. Investigate where you can get yours at sweettango.com.
All right, we are back. So we finished with the Kappa. Let's move on to, let's take it down under, Byron. What's next on the list?
The Yarmahu. Hang on. Let me, I can butcher that. Yarmahu. A legendary creature found in Australian Aboriginal mythology. Frog-like man.
Giant tree frog.
Another froggy.
Right? Yeah, with red skin and very big head and large mouth. No teeth.
Zell, do you got his didgeridoo in the fucking studio you could be playing while he's talking about this right now?
It's inside,
yeah.
And the so it's known to jump down out of the trees with suction caps on the end of its fingers and suck the blood out of its humans or Jesus. Its prey.
It's a drop frog.
Yeah, but like once he swallows his prey. Drinks a little bit of water, has a little bit of a nap, and just chills out a little bit because, you know, had a big meal, a little bit knackered. And then afterwards, regurgitates its prey or its
victims.
Throws
it on the Barbie?
No. Just lets them go. They're done with now. He's got what he needs out of them, but they actually come out shorter and with a little bit of a reddish tinge to their skin. So
Andrew's
so it's exactly what happened to me. It all fucking makes sense now.
You got
multiple times.
A few times got taken.
Been eaten a couple of times.
Taken by, what is it called? Yarmahu. Yarmahu.
Mm.
Yep. How many inches does it take off every time? Two? 2 or 3 inches?
2 or 3, sure.
So 4 or 5 inches. 4 or 5 times Andrew's been...
I need every inch I can get.
That's what she said. Yarmahu.
So it...
Yarmahu. It sounds fucking French. Yarmi.
So apparently they try and attack the same victim again and again. Either in the future when they've... I don't know. I guess they got a taste for one. But you need to watch out, Andrew, because eventually you'll fully transform into one of the Yarmahus yourself.
I'm not.
Check your fingers
actually,
for suction cups, bud.
That's what I'm saying. I'm not entirely sure if I'm not already.
Yeah,
Yarmahu
will try and attack the same victim again in the future. Each time, leaving the victim slightly shorter and slightly redder.
Fucker. Why you gotta do that?
I'm
to
looking
a
little bit red at the moment, actually.
Yeah, fucking.
There you are.
You do look shorter than last time.
It's the beard. Lost the
Byron. Beard. Did you ever hear about this Yarmahu guy?
No, not me. Up? It was always like a bunyip out in the water and stuff like that.
A what? Sorry,
the bunyip.
Bunyip.
The bunyip. We spoke about that fella or creature during the mythological throwdown deathmatch.
The first cryptid crush-a-thon. Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Was Andrew on the first crush-a-thon? I can't remember.
I don't think so.
I think I was on there.
Might have been on my phone texting or watching football. Or
checking football. Yeah,
it's possible.
Yeah, I don't know.
Or something else. Yeah. Not so sure. The bunyip was the one we were always little swamp monster. But like again, growing up, never really, you always heard about the boogeyman, but my parents never really. Didn't give a shit. I was looking under the bed for the bloody boogeyman if there ever was one. I didn't care, so it never really worked on me. But. like most places, you always hear about it. Just zero fucks. Good, man, I got snakes and shit to worry about. I'm not worried about a boogeyman.
Yeah. Giant spiders and everything, like real shit.
Australia's got like legit boogeyman living everywhere.
Yeah, no shit. It's
just daily day in the life. The
boogeyman has to worry about the nature. Like, worry about the giant snakes.
The boogeyman fucked off everywhere else. That's why we couldn't find too many in Australia.
Bullshit.
Yeah, boogeyman choose not to live in Australia for a reason. As I don't blame them.
Most people should.
It's not a real place anyway, so don't worry about it.
Yeah, it's fake anyway. It's in South Africa or something, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Part of the whole flat earth scheme.
Fuckers.
Anyways.
Made up to sell merchandise and books.
Is there any way to fight this thing? Because like the last one you got the guy to bow over, was there any way to fight this guy? Or is he just pretty much just like a powerful frog?
He only hunts during, he likes live prey and hunts during the day. So they suggest that you play dead until sunset. So it's more of like a kind of the opposite to most other boogeymen.
Daytime boogeyman.
Yeah, it comes out the daytime. So it's more, if you're more of a party animal at night and stuff, then you're pretty sweet. Just sleep during the day and party at night. And you should be fine.
Think about the nerve that you'd have to have just to fucking play dead for that long, though. Not a chance. Not ever.
I mean,
not
if you caught you at like noon, yeah.
Yeah, no. Like I hear something and I'm gone. It doesn't matter. Fucking sprinting. Fucking Donovan Bailey, Canadian hero. Gonzo.
Catch you later.
Donovan Bailey. I haven't heard that name in a while.
Yeah, man. Don't you remember his ballpark franks? He was selling that shit on fucking TV.
Fucking Donovan Bailey. Canadian legend.
Fucking guessing.
Yeah, bullshit Carl Lewis.
Canadian sprinter.
Yeah, I said it, Dan. Lewis. Yeah, I said it, Dan. All right? Bullshit. He didn't deserve that fucking championship. He was cheating too.
Did Carl Lewis beat Bailey for the repeat? Or
no. Donovan Bailey beat Carl Lewis's ass, but
that was for the repeat.
Donovan
champ.
Bailey got busted for PEDs.
Oh, they're all PEDs everywhere you go. Everyone's juicing.
Tell me about it.
Especially probably this next boogeyman on our list called Cloudie?
The Cloodle?
Cloudie or Clude or how do you pronounce that?
Cluda?
Cluder.
Could be Clude. Could be Clude.
I mean, if anybody during in this podcast that could pronounce it, Zella, it would be you. So
Clude.
Your best shot.
Clude. We're going with Cluda.
Cluda.
Cleda. Cleda?
Cluda.
Anyways, it's in Belgium, and this, unlike the tree frog, this motherfucker, this guy's straight from hell, pretty much. It patrols like the waterways in the Flemish countryside. I didn't realize Flemish was like a Belgian term.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, patrols the countryside. And if you're out in the countryside at night, you're at risk of being attacked and dragged into the water by an immense dog-like creature with bear claws, a sharp black beak, and glistening green scales in shaggy.
This is another water guy with fucking green scaly skin. Maybe we're onto something. It's Old Greg. Sounds exactly like Old Greg.
I'm Old Greg.
What you doing in my waters, fool?
And anyways, this
scaly little man
this boogeyman spawns from the cremated bodies of witches and wizards and can move at incredible speeds.
Jesus.
They had a lot of witches and wizards in the Flemish countryside back in the day? Or
apparently.
I mean, yeah, all your great witch hunters are from the Netherlands.
That's a fact?
It is now.
It is now. Those Belgian people are known for their witch hunting skills.
So is there any way of like defeating this one?
I'm not even finished explaining how crazy this thing is. Right. Has bat wings and walks on its hind legs. Bulging crimson or blue eyes. And it sounds like there's chains permanently wrapped around his body. So when he walks, I guess it's like a chains are like clanging together all the time. This is just like a creature straight from Act 5 of Diablo.
What's that? What do you mean?
You don't know what Diablo is?
Scary as fuck.
You ever played Diablo?
Like the devil?
Pretty much.
Diablo.
The game. But yes, El Diablo. Diablo, the devil. Lord of terror.
Shit.
In other words.
Yeah, it's scary as fuck.
Anyways, what else we know about this guy?
I don't know. It's quite an impressive creature that it's like you can't even... It seems like you wouldn't even be able to kill it because if you do try to kill it... It says from the single corpse, seven more will spring forth.
Oh, shit.
So you don't want to kill it.
You can't. Don't kill it. Whatever you do.
Don't kill it. But you can escape if you throw, if you happen to have, because like me, you know, I'm a true gentleman and I always carry a handkerchief on me.
Obviously, of course.
You know, so when I'm out and about, because
you don't sneeze into a Kleenex like a peasant.
Yeah. Jeez.
Come on now.
Damn, some kind of savage.
You sneeze into the same Kleenex, same handkerchief over and over again. Like a true gentleman.
That's the cleanly, gentlemanly way to do it.
And then you offer it to other people.
What you'll do is if you have that handkerchief, you throw it behind you and the creature seems compelled to stop and rip the cloth apart. Part by part, fiber by fiber, which will allow you to get away.
It's got a thing for snot. Gotta love snot.
Yeah, does it have to be a used handkerchief or can it be anything?
No, it just has to be a handkerchief. That's the thing. Mm. What's interesting about this, if you think about it, is that this kind of behavior by a mythological creature is not actually kind of unique. When you think, if you think about vampires or you think about, there's actually other creatures like, what's one of the other ones? I think the kappa will do it too, but counting things is a common theme in mythology to like get away from certain creatures. Like there's this kind of OCD, obsessive compulsive disorder, where if you throw rice or salt or something like that out onto the ground, lentils or whatever, these creatures are obligated to count each one.
Yeah, I've heard that. And like you leave your shoes outside. And they're obsessed with your shoes. And if you like tie them in knots, they have to figure out how to untie the knot.
Can I leave my earphones out after they've been in my pocket so they can untangle them for me? Because Jesus, that's a pain in the ass.
That is an anomaly of humanity. How you can put it.
I mean, I'm curious, like, how smart are these guys? You toss out fucking like 6 grains of rice and he's sitting there for fucking 4 hours being like, God,
I forgot.
1, 2, 3.
No, I'm sure they're pretty good at it. They're just like 1, 2, 3, 4. But they have to count them one at a time, though. There's none of that estimated bullshit. Oh, like, you count them one at a time. Can't put them in like groups of 5 and count them all out.
It just goes to show you that everybody who enjoys counting things and math is fucking crazy and probably a boogeyman.
It's true.
Not normal behavior. People don't like math.
I like that connection.
When you're talking about the handkerchief thrown behind you, I was just thinking of like the original bullfighting. We get like a little, come at me, little motherfucker, jump out of the way, and then bull's gone, you're safe.
Psych.
Exactly. Might have been the original bullfighting.
Could be on to something there. It didn't say what color the cloth was. If it were red, I'd be like, yeah, okay.
The worst part about this guy is the fact that like he's basically a mugwai, except for water is trying to murder him. And you try to murder him, and you just create 7 more, and you're fucked. Like, think about everybody's first instinct when this bastard shows up. He's terrifying. What do you want to do? You want to kill him, and then you just get 7 more of them?
I think this is the most horrifying, powerful like creature I've ever heard of, because you could just keep killing them forever, and they would eventually just take over the planet because you can never kill them.
But
Zell, exactly. Where's your family from? Sorry. what are you descending?
I'm not going to tell you where I'm from.
Okay, makes sense. That was like, turns out Zella is actually 1 of 7 siblings.
If you roam Central Europe, you will find the rest of us.
My question is, when they regenerate, are they the same size or are they like small ones? Like polar creeks?
7 smaller ones?
Yeah, do you get like 7 Canada Goose size ones?
Vertically challenged, okay? We don't prefer the term small.
Okay. What do you prefer?
Vertically challenged.
Vertically challenged.
Gotcha.
You'll have it doesn't really elaborate on what size they are. It could just be probably 7 regular sized ones. Just pop out. I don't know where they keep them, but that'll happen if you try to dispatch the Cluda.
Well, I mean, that would be even worse. If you had a bunch of small ones, you could keep them in your pocket. All of a sudden, boom, 7 Cluda come flying out of nowhere.
Toss them out.
You're fucked. Terrifying.
But eventually you get them small enough, you can just keep squashing them and they go like be like ants. So you might be okay.
Yeah, but then you have like a million Cluda. You can't do that. You can't squash them.
No, because if they get that tiny, you keep like stepping on them, they get tinier and tinier. Eventually they're just gonna crawl into your body and kill you from the inside.
Oh,
exactly. And what happens if they're like Ant-Man?
Mm. Yeah, right. Yeah.
Right? Like they still have proportional strength. Like
they just get inside your brain and just start liquefying.
Can you burn them?
Or they go like the kappa and get up your butt.
Oh, it doesn't say if you can burn them. I mean, maybe you can burn them. It says kill though.
But that's killing
it says
them.
Kill in any way. So yeah.
I guess
yeah.
so.
So yeah.
You get fucked.
So we just found the most unstoppable creature in the entire universe. It cannot be killed, it just multiplies. There you go.
I mean, we should be having these handkerchief factories working 24/7.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying. Just handkerchiefs everywhere.
Fuck that.
I'm going to need them.
It feels like that was created by Big Handkerchief.
Hey, the Drive
Handkerchief
sales.
Created the Cluedo.
Drive sales in Central Europe back in the day.
Yeah. Well, like as soon as Kleenex came, Big Kleenex came out, and they're like, we got to come up with a story, guys. Yeah. It's not, we're getting outsold here. Yeah,
it's not a handkerchief. It's not going to work.
It's like big toilet paper created COVID.
As one of the theories.
There you go.
One of the other ways they said, I think it's the coming of daybreak or the sound of church bells will drive it off.
So it's like got a little bit of religion undertones to it.
Yeah, I'm not sure if there's actually a way to kill it as much.
Let's just say you can't kill it.
Seemed to be.
It's invincible. Or not invincible. It just, it's.
You would know.
What's the word for this?
You
this
would
unstoppable?
Know.
Like, you can kill it. Just
I think the word for it is Ryan Zelsner. I think that's the proper word for it.
This guy is, I approve of him. I approve of his
I'm sure
capabilities.
You do. I'm sure you do.
I'm going to take a few notes. Anyways, let's move on to the next one that we have on the list here. The ass wang. No joke.
Oh, the ass wang.
The ass.
I'm not gonna correct your pronunciation. Like, I know how you say it. That's not how you say it, but sure.
It's ass wang. Right? That's well, how else can you say it, Dan? You try it.
A swang.
Oh. No.
The ass wang?
Ass wang.
Swang.
It's that spelled ASWANG.
No, I've watched enough Filipino movies to know that's how you say it.
Well, it doesn't. It's also called the tick tick, the fee fee, the bayet, the whack whack, the sock sock, the Marie's, or the cling cling.
Let's go with ass wang.
Ass wang sounds better.
I like ass wang.
So what does the ass wang look like?
A combination of vampire, zombie, ghoul, witch, and werewolf.
What?
Picture that. I think I got it.
It's terrifying.
Oh, no, you've got that artist rendition. Yeah.
Artist rendering right here. It looks.
Jesus.
Oh my God. This is terrifying.
That would eat the ass and wang out of.
Anything.
Anything.
No ass and wang is safe from this guy.
Definitely
not. Not a chance.
They're generally repulsive creatures from the descriptions that you have, and that's not their only form. I think the swang can take many different forms. Some that have been reported or that have been recorded in you know folklores, or that of a giant evil looking pig, which pigs are scary in the first place, so that would
totally
be pretty terrifying.
Scary.
A type of jackal like dog. At some points, I've seen depictions of it being kind of like, it's almost like an evil, like fruit bat's face. Like, you know, it's like a really fucking gross, like hairless dog, you know, with that. It is known for its long coming out of its mouth. Like that picture that it depicts is one of its trademark qualities, is that it has this long proboscis like appendage. That comes out, which allows
fucking
it to
big
feed.
Big words, my friend.
Yeah.
Big
which allows
words.
It to feed on its favorite food, which are living human fetuses.
It slurps the human fetus out from a belly button.
Yep.
What?
So it's pretty much like Alien, where it's like the mouth and the mouth coming through.
It's got a mouth.
Well,
and out
like,
of the mouth.
It's like snakes out.
Snake mouth.
And then, you know, it'll hang out on the roof of a dwelling that is inhabited by a pregnant woman, and it will just like
slither
when they
in
go
there.
To sleep, just comes out. And then, yeah.
Jesus.
So that's its favorite food, but it'll also eat liver and blood, just like the kappa. A little bit of overlap there. And it's.
I wonder, like, this is obviously not a fun topic or anything like that, but I wonder if it's like. You know, something created to somehow justify stuff like spontaneous abortions. You know what I mean? Like that kind of stuff. It's horrible, but it does happen.
Oh, like,
and
instead of
in cultures like prior to, you know what I mean? The medical advances that we've had in the last century, you know what I mean? It'd be really hard to explain as, you know, why you lost your child.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Before
the ass wang, you were able to slurp up my belly button.
Yeah. You know what I mean?
Well,
that's good possibility. Horrible. Yeah.
It's supposed to be silent except for a tick tock, like a tick tick noise, but it gets quieter as it gets closer. So you hear it. I guess you hear it.
Bastard.
And then it gets closer and it starts, the noise starts to disappear. That's like the warning sign. Once it disappears, it's about to get you.
Well, you're fucked. It's too late.
Now, there's gotta be a way to kill this.
Has to be.
Fucking super demon.
Yeah, you just cup your ass in your wang and it just has nowhere to go and leaves you alone.
And belly button.
More than a few things. I mean, its weaknesses do resemble that of your stereotypical or typical vampire.
What?
So it can't set foot on what is considered holy ground. So, hiding inside a church or taking, refuge, it might actually like in a graveyard, anywhere that's been consecrated would probably protect you. They don't like garlic and they can't stand religious artifacts as well. So like a wooden cross or crucifix would keep you safe. Something that might be a little bit more difficult to procure would be a whip made entirely from stingrays' tails.
Oh, shit.
So
I'll do it.
They don't like
Jones
that.
Doesn't even have one of those.
No,
I don't know anything that would not be, if I had a whip made of stingray's tail, that I don't know. That would take care of anything, really.
Got Steve Irwin, poor fella.
Oh,
yeah, no shit. Maybe that's what he's trying to find.
R.I.P.
Maybe that's what happened.
R.I.P. Steve.
R.I.P. Irwin. Yeah. One of my childhood heroes. I actually had an email called Steve Irwin is my hero when I was a little kid.
Really?
No, that's awesome. I fucking love that show.
That's cute.
I love that show.
That's really cute.
He's the best.
Then you became a cold, heartless vampire.
Beautiful, well, beautiful.
When
man.
He died, when he died by Stingray.
You sacrificed yourself to the ass wang.
Yes. I joined the clan.
Yeah, that's fair. The Cloodle or whatever.
Crazy thing, fuck, the ass wank can stay away.
Yeah, that's
yeah, it. No thanks.
It's a beast of horrific proportions. This is disgusting, this one.
Is it cool?
Yeah, there's a lot of Southeast Asian like boogeymen creatures are some of the weirdest ones I've come across. When I was living in Thailand, I came across the one called the Krasu. And the Krasu is this type of, it's a vampire type creature, which is essentially it's only a head and the organs, like the digestive tract. And it basically inhabits like a decapitated body of a woman and during the day, and it's perfectly normal. But at night it like floats outside of that body with just like just the innards just like hanging down from the neck, and then it goes out to feast on the blood of living people.
Ooh.
I was like, that's gross. That's
fucking yeah, that's nasty.
It's a good way to mess up a child's mind, like all this shit.
Yeah,
don't. You got to keep them safe somehow. I mean, that was the way to keep kids in line back then. You don't want them wandering around at night. Like, you definitely don't want them doing that. Again,
guess
this
so.
Is what the boogeymen were always kind of meant to do, and what they still kind of do today, if you think about it, if you have your modern
horror serial killer, boogeyman,
not just your serial killers like we mentioned before, but your Michael Myers, your Jason Voorhees, especially Jason, right? Mm. Who are kind of in their movies, they kind of dole out punishment for social transgressions. So, you've got because Jason hates people having sex. He hates it.
Right.
Every movie, if you're having sex, you're dying.
You're fucking dead.
You're dead.
Fornicators are dead.
Yep.
Every time.
It's like, if you've seen Jason X, he's frozen for 100 years or whatever. And what brings him back to life? People boning on the spaceship. And he wakes up, grabs his machete, and is like, it's time to murder.
Stop boning. All right. You heard it here first. Stop.
Knock it off.
The world must go celibate. That's the only way to cure 2020.
That's it.
Well, boning outside of wedlock, I suppose, would be the.
There you go.
Okay, if you're married. You can boom.
Yeah, that's fine. He's probably like, that's cool. You show him your wedding ring. And he's like, Jason, it's cool. He's like, just turns around and walks away. It's cool. We're married. Yeah. Whip out your marriage certificate.
Yeah. I'm going to put that shit on
the
wall.
He kind of leans in real close, like looks at it, and like turns out, walks out.
I believe my kid is going to believe when I tell him about the boogeyman and like not to fuck around, because he's going to sense the sincerity of my voice. I'll be like, please, just don't do it, man. Don't bring this on us.
It's not worth it.
Your dad doesn't want anything to do with this, man. It's scary. You want to see your dad cry? Don't do it. For the love of God. I don't want ass weighing coming for either of us.
No one does. Nobody does.
Some interesting points that I came across when I was like researching for this was that a lot of times you don't even really have to tell kids about the boogeyman. A lot of psychologists, like children psychologists, have kind of come to the conclusion, or at least the general consensus, that during their brain development, you know, during mental development of children, between the ages of 2 and 6 are when most children will develop an innate fear of the dark, because this is when the imagination, like those parts of your brain that, you know, arrive at those concepts of imagination and can kind of take stuff beyond what is normally there, start to develop.
Right.
Interesting. Seriously, here's a serious question. Everybody in this group, who can go down into their basement, shut off all the lights, and walk calmly away and not even briskly walk? Really?
I can feed on the darkness.
You don't even speed walk. You don't even feed, like, not a little pep in your step.
I feed on the darkness. The darker, the scarier, the better I function. The more creative I get.
If you run, they'll come after you. They're like bears.
You can't catch them. I'm too fast.
If you run, that activates their hunter instinct.
I'm wicked fast.
And they'll come after you.
But Zell doesn't count. This question goes out to everyone that doesn't sleep hanging upside down. Okay. It excludes you.
No one's ever.
I have trouble
that.
Walking past glass sliding doors at night. Like, that's always my big fear. Like, walking, I don't know why, but it's like I hate walking like that one that's like facing like where when I grew up, the house that I grew up had like a you know, big backyard, big dark backyard,
empty glass at the back, yeah,
facing out to the back door, and creepy. No curtains or anything. So every time you have to walk past that, you know, if you wanted to go to the kitchen to get a drink of water, you had to walk past those fucking glass doors, and you always expect to walk by and just see something standing outside that window.
Ass Wang.
Wang's got his ass and Wang pressed up against that glass.
Mine, we never had basements in Oz. Like, the houses weren't built like that.
No basements ever?
No. Like, I don't, like, any of my friends' houses never had any basements. Now, a lot of the houses are built on stilts.
Not for floods.
So, yeah, for floods. And I think it's just a lazy, easy way, because we don't have to worry about weather and shit for underneath as far as like cold and,
you know, have like frost
stuff.
Yeah.
Frost, so like my house, for example, I grew up in, we're on stilts, were maybe 4 foot off the ground, and then it was brick all the way around that. So we had a little trapdoor, and like I was scared of going in there, like, to get to the other far end of the house. It got like a lot shorter, but I was more worried about bloody spiders under there. That was my fear, necessarily the darkness or some mythological creature. I was more about like, if I get fucking bitten under here by a spider, I can't get out. It's going to like drag me through or something like that.
Here in North America, we have to make up stuff to be scared of because we don't have that scary shit.
Yeah, I guess I can't really remember as a kid of any mythological shit scaring me. It's more like just the actual rustle of leaves in the bush of a snake or something like that. Then I go around and start chasing it anyway.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I always wonder sometimes, because you always hear like the supernatural stories or stories of ghosts and shit always come from young kids. And so there's either two options. Either it's just a hyperactive imagination, or a lot of people always make that claim of like they experience like a thinned veil, and maybe they see, I don't know, I want to say like, you know, a different dimension, or they see stuff that other people can't experience. Even if the stuff is not like malicious, they just see it. They always they see and they experience stuff different. You always hear that with like little kids. So,
well, I think you could make the argument, you know, based on just the way that the brain develops and the way that the children do perceive the world at that age, where their brain is still developing and it's still in the early stages. What I would say was the early stages, because you haven't even gone through puberty yet. They see a very different world than we see.
Yeah,
I mean, biologically, you could make the argument that they are perceiving a very different world, where it's like they don't have the kind of concrete concepts like in our brains that we have, that we know certain concepts of what exists and what exists and what doesn't. we have the faculties to kind of determine, you know, this is real, this is a threat, or this is, you know, there's, you know, looking into the closet when you're a kid, there's a lot more to be afraid of because you don't know what could be in there.
You don't have the answers yet. Right? It's unknown. Yeah.
Right. You don't have the knowledge to kind of be like, okay, what could possibly be in there? You know, for all you know, it's just like when it's dark and it's empty and you can't see inside of it, it could be literally anything. But when, you know, when you grow up, you realize that, you know, inside that closet is clothes. Behind that is a wall. Behind the wall is the pipes. By, you know, is all of that.
Behind the pipes is a portal to hell.
Speak for yourself.
You know,
I'm not convinced.
Or in Zell's case, there's a bunch of bodies. Like, I don't know.
His coffin where he sleeps.
I never keep them in my house.
They're buried under his house.
Shit.
So, yeah, you can make the argument that children do see a very different world than what we see. And, you know, if you want to, some people want to say that they're more sensitive to paranormal activity. Perhaps, maybe, perhaps. Could be.
Hard to argue. Well, I mean, it's easy to argue against it, but it's hard to prove either way.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You can just say like, he's got an overactive imagination, or he's seen demons in his closet. And sure. Then once his brain develops enough, those frequencies disappear, and now you're just seeing our material plane. You're not seeing anything beyond.
Yeah, listen, maybe. I've got to walk through closet for a reason. That shit's open. I walk right through that stuff.
I'm surprised you even have a closet.
Mm-hmm. Me too.
Don't just hang stuff on your wall.
Just throw it on the ground in a pile.
Yeah, get it. That's how you get spiders, though.
Yeah, I'll take our spiders.
That's fair.
I got kitties, man. My kitties take care of that stuff.
I mean, there's a lot of other boogeymen from a lot of other cultures, but...
Whoa, buddy, we're not going to talk about El Cucuy?
You want to talk about one more? You want to do one more? Let's do one more.
El Cucuy?
El Cucuy.
Dan's got to know about El Cucuy.
El Cucuy or El Coco?
El Coco?
Yeah. El Coco is a... From what you can kind of guess, is a Spanish... You know, like Spain, also parts of Mexico and things like that, where it is a type of kind of like formless. It doesn't really have like a set form, from what I've read.
Well, he shapeshifts.
It's a shapeshifter, so it can take on the shape of whatever you are afraid of.
Manifestation of fear itself.
Oof. Yeah,
scary.
Careful.
So that would be what some people would call like a tulpa or something like that, where it just takes, you know, it takes the form of what you fear most.
The form of Tony Ferguson.
It's what is it? Zool the Destroyer.
Zozo.
But I can't remember. What are the other things about the El Coco, El Cucuy?
Well, his favorite snack.
You seem more afraid of him than I am.
His favorite snack are fucking children, which is horrifying.
Disobedient children, so listen to your parents.
Yeah, don't fuck around.
And so they will, I think it lures out kids at some, like, you know, that's one of its traits, is that it likes to lure out kids, snatch them up.
And then he like destroys the family, like he'll eat the kids and then destroys the family that, you know, the family of the kids. Like he'll eat the children and then he just kind of like enjoys the misery of the entire family. Like he just fucking, he's horrible.
And he also screams, cuckoo!
Cuckoo! Cuckoo!
As he moves stealthily through the night looking for victims.
That's when you know you fucked up. So when you hear that, just run. Let's get the fuck
out
of there.
But he only preys on children. So if you're an adult, you should be safe. Well, unless you're under 5'9".
Fuck you.
Under 5'9".
I'm 5'8¾".
You're under 5'9", so you're dead. No big deal. You know what?
Sometimes, if you look at my football program, I'm 5'9" because I was wearing cleats.
Yeah, they'll give you the half inch for the cleats and the extra 10 pounds on the just because.
Yeah, I know.
Make your team's average weight just a little bit bigger. Make it look a little tougher.
Well, whatever.
Whatever works. And that's all I had for that guy. Unless there's some other mysterious notion I had about him.
I don't know.
The Coco is pretty straightforward. It is a, you know, shape-shifting terrifying creature.
He's a boogeyman.
He's a boogeyman. Garrett so, Kidd. I mean,
I had all this information on him. I was all pumped because I was like, oh man, like I wrote down all this info on El Kukui. And I realized that all my information is coming from the book, The Outsider, that I read, and none of it is factual. Well, okay, again, none of this is factual to begin with. But anyways, the stuff that I was pulling was completely made up by Stephen King, and yeah, it was bullshit.
Yeah, so. But well, maybe Stephen King knows his shit, though.
Maybe. Anybody can really make anything up
about El Coco. Like, El Coco can be really anything.
Yeah, this is true.
He takes on the form of your worst fear, so it could be fucking anything.
Yeah. I mean, there are other, and there are other, you know, boogeymen that do the exact same thing. What was the one? I don't know. I can't spoil any books. There's a couple of books where that is like the common, that is common thing. I know it happens in Supernatural a whole bunch where they fight tulpas and it always like turns, it's always like, yeah, it can take the form of whatever you fear most. So, you know, whatever, something like that. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you think about it, like in Batman, like the Scarecrow is like a boogeyman. I think Boogie is also kind of they said that it comes from the boogeyman word, like the etymology can trace back to also a word that means like scarecrow.
Yep. I read that too, actually.
So the Scarecrow is technically in, you know, in Batman, he's the boogeyman because he always, you know, his gases always bring out what you fear most or whatever. So, I mean, that's a pretty good villain.
Yeah,
like, there's, you know, Boggarts.
He's the boogeyman. He's the Scarecrow.
Dan, don't forget about the Boggarts.
The Boggarts.
Yeah, you should know.
It's also boogeyman.
Even if you are a mudblood or a muggle.
There's a lot of, yeah, it's just like the boogeymen are just, I mean, they're everywhere. It's anything can be a boogeyman, you know, as, especially when you roll in the paranormal circles or the, you know, the conspiracy theory world that we live in now.
Or the blues.
Anything can be boogeyman.
Don't forget about John Lee Hooker. It's the fucking best boogeyman around.
John Lee Hooker.
Hell yeah. The boogeyman.
Is that the guy who, teaches aerobics in Colorado now, retired?
No, that's the WWE wrestler, man. John Lee Hooker is a fucking blues musician.
Is that the guy who died at the crossroads or whatever, sold his soul to a demon?
No, different guy. That's Robert, what the hell, who sold his soul? That's going to bug me now.
Sold his soul at the crossroads.
That's Robert, what's his name, Robert? Oh, that's really going to bother me.
Stuck in there. I can't get it out. But yeah, he sold his soul to the devil, right? At the crossroads?
Yeah, what's his name? That's going to drive me fucking nuts. Robert Johnson.
Robert Johnson.
Robert Johnson. Right, Johnson. Robert Johnson. Right. I could fucking slay the guitar.
He's a legend.
So I think that it's just a matter of, you know, it's a regional taste of all these things like the boogeymen. These creatures, these whatever, will take the form of whatever people kind of whatever want to believe that they are. What people are scared of, whether it's bears or whether it's bats or it's snakes, you know, you combined everything together, which, you know, makes up some terrible monster. And you get the Cluda, which is like a mixture of like witch, wizard, bear, bat, snake, you know, everything all put together, which is probably the worst one.
Well, yeah, Aswang's werewolf and a bunch of other stuff.
That's like every fucking one put together.
The Cluedo sounds terrifying, though. That's you can't kill him.
Yeah.
There's more come. That's the worst.
Now, we talked at the start about how maybe some of these boogeymen maybe come from real stories of killers or whatnot. So there's actually a ongoing case in Australia, Byron, called the Australian Boogeyman.
There is. Now, you have to bear with me because I got my notes and then to read from.
He's got to read from the notes.
But yeah, this is a story going back. It started back in 1989 and in just in the outside suburbs of Melbourne, Victoria. And he's been dubbed Mr. Cruel, but he was, I guess his alter ego, as he was known in the media and stuff, was the Boogeyman, the Australian Boogeyman. And very similar theme to all boogeymen is preyed on children, late at night came in and got them, targeted prey too from a lot of the accounts from this. So this is unfortunately true events that have happened.
True boogeyman.
So it's a little bit messed up. So listeners have been warned. But back in August, so winter time, Australia time, 1987, this person broke into a house in Lower Plenty, just out of Melbourne there at 4 a.m, armed with a knife and a gun. He went into the parents' bedroom and woke them up, tied them up, had them turn over on their face, tied them up, basically hog tie with some surgical tape, and made it look like and sound like a robbery. And that was his motive for a lot of it. So it just sounded like a classic B&E. And from there, he went into the kids' room once the parents were tied up the little son and put him face down as well, gagged him, and then abducted the girl. Actually, no, did he do it there? Can't remember whether he took her or not. But yeah, locked the parents in the cupboard and raped the 11-year-old girl, cut the lines, and off he went into the night, never to be found. A year later, just after Christmas in 1988 in Ringwood, another east suburb of Melbourne, 5:30 in the morning, he again broke into a house, bound and gagged the parents, and demanded money before he gagged them. So they explained where the money was. He stole about $35 off the nightstand side table. And then from there, he went into the bedroom where all the girls were, the daughters. And he was, I can't remember if it was this one or the first one, but one of them, he was recorded making a phone call, and later on, like, the phone lines are all cut and stuff, and once they actually took records of the phone, there was no such records. So the police actually thought that he was very meticulous in his work, and it was a bit of a red herring to confuse the officers. But then he took the 10-year-old girl Sharon Wills, and she was gone. She was abducted for about 18 hours in total before they found her on the side of the street. Before he actually released the girls, he washed, cleaned, cut their fingernails, cut their toenails. So he's very particular about basically washing away his evidence. Again, another year was more a bit shorter, about another 7 months later, 1990 in Canterbury. Late at night. Oh, actually, hang on. Which is this one? No, that's the next one. I think it is. Anyway, one of them was the family was away. That's this one here. Yeah, Canterbury at 11:30 at night. Two girls were at home. Their parents were out at a party, a bit of a farewell party, English family, and they were heading back to England, and they looked after the 13-year-old was looking after her other sister, came into the house, bound up the other girl, took the 13-year-old, and this time, again, cut all the phone lines. She was gone for 50 hours in total. So each time he's kind of ramping it up. And again, there was no real trace, no leads for the police. And he was eventually found, the girl was eventually found a little way away. And they, the common theme that two of the girls both said was hearing plane fly over. And then another year later in 1991, and this is the last confirmed linked case to the boogeyman. There's a few others they could potentially tie to him, but without the same hard evidence and motive, they couldn't directly link it to. But this is his final one. It was pretty full on. It was in Templestowe, again in one of the suburbs. Another 13-year-old girl, Carmen, and she actually went to the same school as Nicola as a previous victim. So they think that there could be a tie between there. But this girl was taking taken away, and the police did a lot of links in the background history. I think it was very personal because whoever was doing this was stalking, knew where the parents were away, knew when they were gone and all that sort of stuff. This girl actually was found a year later, and she was decomposing at that stage. So she'd been dead for a while and was found with three bullet holes in the head, execution style. So this is really ramping stuff up. And from there, there's been no other confirmed cases from there, but it was never solved. A lot of the conspiracy with it around it to talk is that he may have been related to a child pornography ring. Also that he may have ties with education department. The fact that two of the girls were from the same all-girls private school within Melbourne, and also potentially that he may have had something to do with law enforcement or a good knowledge of law enforcement, as a lot of evidence. They did reopen the case in 2010, but to try and, you know, the new technology, the tape they had that could potentially have had his DNA on there had gone missing out of evidence. A lot of the files were either labeled or had totally gone missing or put into the wrong area. And as a result, they basically flunked it. It was like a multi-million dollar task force they set up twice trying to catch this guy. Like 70,000 raids of homes. It was a pretty serious undertaking. And the people, like, I don't remember ever hearing of this story. Again, I was shit four at the time. When this was all happening, so I don't remember it or maybe hearing stories about it. And I lived a fair way away, but definitely, you know, a year and then a year, like for 4 years in a row, pretty much something went down. So people were pretty worried, I can imagine. So yeah, modern day boogeyman pretty much. And still at large, I think there's now like a $1.2 million reward out for any information that leads to his capture, according to Wikipedia. So yeah, pretty full on.
Modern day boogeyman.
Yeah. And like, it just, a lot of the stuff he was saying was like leading people away. So it's kind of like you were talking about dropping the rice to confuse the boogeyman. This is kind of the reversal. He was dropping other clues to avoid capture and throw the police off his trail. So assuming it was a he. Yeah, pretty full action. No, they said it was a he.
See what I mean?
It's really
back, you know, 1,000 years ago, there was some fucked up thing going on and that turned into the boogeyman. And then you use that to be like, all right, kids, go to bed, lock your doors because the boogeyman,
it'll get you.
He's out there. Even though it's like a, could have been like a thing, like three victims, as tragic as that is, it's like in the scheme of like millions of people, it's not a lot, but just that, like, the thought of that story could happen to like someone you know.
Yeah,
like that's powerful enough, right?
Yeah, well, the one family, terrifying. First one or the second one? No, the first one, like, they were living together and sleeping in the lounge room, all in like in the one room for I think a year or so after the fact,
because yeah, no,
they
were kidding. Just
like absolutely petrified of being alone and in separate rooms and stuff for it happens. So like the fear is real. Like it's there.
I'd never sleep again.
Yeah. Fuck.
Never.
No. That's crazy. So like some of them are straight mythology and some of them are
modern day,
real life,
real shit,
unsolved cold case murders. I know we talked about earlier about a guy named Albert Fish.
Oh yeah.
Do you want to touch on him real quick?
He's a grade A piece of shit. Yeah, he's just the same situation. Guy's got a hard on for killing kids and eating them. Horrifying.
Actually ate them, right?
So they tied at least, like, so that we know of, they tied 9 confirmed child murders to him, but he claims to have killed a child in every single state. And he claims to have killed at least 100 and eaten them all. And like, can you fucking post a picture of him? Like, he's like, you have a look at this guy and you're like, yeah. Definitely. Could see it. Definitely eats kids. Yep.
Look at the guy. He's got a giant fucking mustache. He's skin and bone. He's got giant bags under his eye.
Look at the shape of his head.
His head? Yeah. He's got like an alien head, actually.
That's head is bigger than Cass's.
His hat is so big, or his head's so big that his hat will not fit over his skull.
Not even touching his ears.
We're talking fucking Megamind over here.
Yeah, exactly. Fucking exactly that. His hat won't go over his fucking cranium.
Looks like those Mars Attacks creature. Just with the mustache.
Far out. Anyways, you could probably find endless stories of
boogeymen
around the world, modern, ancient. But the tale is it's as old as time, and I mean, in the most innocent way of it, it's just a way to scare your kids into fucking listening to you.
I mean, I'm still taking the boogeyman over Jiddo. I don't want Jiddo. I don't want the belt. I'm telling you right now, I still got fucking scars from that shit.
Anyways, that's what I think the boogeyman is. It's just a combination of stories over probably thousands of years. Now is a tale to scare your kids. But there is modern day tales of the boogeyman, which is, they're taking your kids for real. So
yeah,
pretty bananas.
Terrifying.
So that's all we got on boogeyman, I believe. Anything else?
I'm done.
I think we can wrap it up.
Yeah, let's wrap the boogeyman up. All right. Let's fire up the Randomatron. See what it spits out this week. All right. Fuck, this thing never fucking works. This is a piece of garbage.
Time for a new one.
Maybe I'll get a new one here. There it goes. Here it's working. Coming out right here. Well, would you look at that?
What
Roast
is it?
Of Braden.
Oh, I love it.
Oh, are you kidding me?
Good topic.
Wow. Great Probably topic for the Randomatron this week. Roast of Braden, your favorite theorist who is not here to defend himself. Oh my God, I got a list a mile long. How long can we record for tonight?
Go. Give it to him. Let's go.
Have you ever heard someone breathe so loud?
It's not even like this.
You know
it's that nasally fucking nose.
Full nasal.
It's because he got hit with a left hook when he was 19. Never fixed his nose. It's a fucking train wreck.
Last time he's ever fought anyone. First time.
And last time he fought somebody, he got his nose smashed.
It hasn't caused me though. Like mine's pretty bloody.
Yeah, yours is pretty crooked too. Crooked. But
that was a nice headbutt, that one.
Yeah, but the thing is, when I'm editing a podcast, there's something called a noise gate, which like blocks out certain noise. So like you can't hear yourself breathing and stuff. I got to crank Braden's up about 300% standard level. Because it's not that like he breathes loud, but he also breathes like this, right? By like.
Well, dude, there's a lot of cardio for Braden in these podcasts, man. Like the guy gets the meat sweats halfway through the pod.
Have you ever been to a movie with Braden?
Yeah, unfortunately.
I have to tell him to sit three spaces over because I can't watch. It's so loud. It's unbelievable.
Moving on with that, though, and him with microphones, gaming with him. Like, he's like getting, he gets the biggest packet of chips and just fucking munches away right in the microphone.
He never
like,
pushes mute.
Mate, if you're going to eat, that's fine. I'm not stopping you. Just click the mute button. You want to say something, make sure you've finished eating. Unclick the mute button, have a conversation, bang, back on. Instead of just like hearing this
it's not
in
a,
your bloody ear. It's
not only that, he's got a headset mic on, so he's got like the flexible mic.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of like angling it away from his face towards the wall so he like you don't talk directly into it, he usually angles it. It seems to be in his mouth while playing games. I don't understand why.
Because he gets so hungry, he starts chewing on the fucking mic. That's what
he's trying to get skinny. He's so hungry, plastic looks appetizing. That's what's happened.
That or other full-blown conversations that we don't need to hear or be a part of because it's got nothing to do with the game.
Yeah.
And he's just still going on. And I'm like, mate, I don't need to hear about what you guys are organizing for dinner.
I don't care about camping like, later.
Far out.
The reason we haven't had drunk Braden on the podcast so much or so often lately is because Braden has like 2 week hangovers. Like he'll drink one day and then he'll be hungover for the next week.
He's lost his tolerance.
I'll be honest with you though, but thank fucking Christ, because when he does drink, it's game fucking over. Drunkest person Canada every time. Like, no fucking joke.
He gets
obliterated.
If you're going to get drunk Braden out, meat draw drunk. I'm talking meat draw drunk Braden. Like, he got fucking hammered quick. Braden, this is what happens to Braden when he drinks. He goes, he's flat lines, 3 beers max level, but then can drink another 800 beers without getting any more drunk somehow. He's just automatically max level drunk.
Just plateaus? Max level drunk?
Boom, and then he can just keep drinking, but he's already blacked out, but he'll drink all night.
So you'll get up that max drunk, and then fuck, it's just a quick hill down.
Well, the hill down comes late night usually, and it's not pretty. But
what are the chances of him listening to this before next?
I'm hoping he's listening right now.
He's listening right now. He's got nothing better to fucking do. He's pretending like he's got something else going on in his personal life, which we all know he doesn't.
He's not even on holidays, probably.
No, he's sitting at home fucking chewing on his mic.
He got mad at himself because he got too skinny, lost his funny. So now he's at home right now, off the podcast, just eating. All right, I'm
he's self-journaling how Braden got his
proof
back.
Can't come back until he's gained at least one extra chin back.
Yeah, I mean, at least an extra couple chins here. Well, I don't like skinny Braden.
What I was going to try and say is I'm going to hang out with him next weekend. I was going to maybe try and get him to meet Draw Drunk.
Yeah, do it.
And get some recordings and stuff and see
how
we go.
It's not worth it. It's not fucking worth it.
Yeah, no.
It's babysitting. It's all it is.
It won't be my
fucking
problem.
Horrible, man.
It'll be his missus.
He's got to clip a mic to him. And like some type of like wireless receiver to record it and just let him do his thing. Just send him loose.
To get punched in the face because he's going to bring that on you.
Every time I've got drunk with Braden at the bar, he's usually getting beat up.
Every time.
not really bad, but bad enough. You're like, oof, yeah, you got beat up.
Yep.
You probably shouldn't have grabbed the bouncer's beard. That was probably a bad idea.
That'll do it.
No, you just can't do that. Anyways. Nah, we love him. He's a beauty. He's not here. He can't defend himself. We can say whatever we want.
Speak for yourself. I hate him.
What a great randomatron topic.
Yeah, random. That's a great. No, I hope that happens weekly. I hope we get a randomatron of roasting someone who's not here next week. It'll be Byron.
I was going to say next week.
It'd be harder to come up with stuff for Byron, though. I have to think deep.
I just can't understand him.
Well, that's my main one. It's the same thing instead of getting really drunk, though, it's 3 beers in, you can't understand what he said.
Aussie drunk?
Are you talking to me? Or what are you doing over there?
Oh, when I first arrived, I remember that was hilarious.
Just making noises, just stuff coming out of your mouth, but I don't think they're words.
Fresh Byron, like fresh off the boat from Australia when you first moved. Well, you moved here for 1 year once a while ago, but then when you moved back a few years ago, one beer, you can't understand. A word.
That's what the wife says. Like, as soon as I start talking to my mates back at home too, and the family, like, it just gets that Aussie dial just gets tweaked, and it's like, she's like, yeah, I know something happens, and you just ramp up. And she goes, even I have a hard time still after 5 years understand what the heck you're saying.
Yeah, fun times. Anyways, we should probably get wrapping this one up here. Do we have a theorite of the week?
Andrew did.
We had
Andrew called it.
Oh, we're giving it to. On Discord, on Twitter, at Black Ron Pond.
Oh, yes.
Made a painting.
His artistic rendition.
Artistic rendition of
Braden Costanza.
Braden Costanza, the timeless art of seduction. Oh, my God. Is it funny?
It's fucking beautiful.
We're going to have to
take my eyes away from it.
We got to commission. We got to pay him for this or something. We got to get this in the studio.
Yeah. I couldn't agree more.
He actually also sent another reason he's theoretic of the week. He sent, it's in the mail currently, a ATT portrait hand painted. So,
oh, cool.
Put that up right above the desk here.
Guy's talented.
And he just started painting, man. So,
really?
Good for you.
Good on him.
He just started in the quarantine. It was
just
like,
picked it up during the pandemic.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm pretty sure I could paint, you know, like the turkey with your hand. You need the fingers of the fucking feathers. I could do that probably.
Go.
So you wouldn't even, it would just be like the little, it, more like a turtle. Like even New York's in the maybe. Fingers. Probably just.
Maybe.
Sweet.
New patrons this week. Before we read the Patreons, some people ask, what the fuck is Patreon and how do I use it? Well, let me tell you something, brother. Patreon is an artist support platform where for a few bucks a month, you support your favorite creators, whether it be your boys, the Alien Theorists, or your favorite band or other podcasts. And in return, there is a separate podcast feed that we promote called ATT Classified. And on Classified, we put out bonus content to every episode. We do ATT Confidential, so pretty much bonus episodes. Brayden and Dan do most of those. We play D&D. We have a segment called Nerds. What else we got on there?
Ouija 4.
We have Ouija. Ouija 3 is on there.
Don't talk about Ouija.
Sorry, Mike.
Pod Week stuff from Pod Week.
Crushathons are on there, aren't they?
We have Crushathons are on the main feed, but we watch the Crushathons live, which you cannot find anywhere. You can only find it on our Patreon. And on top of that, you get on we have a private Discord server, and that's your number one direct line. We check all social media, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. But if you want to get direct line to us, it's on Discord. It's the easiest to use, and there's the least, what's the word? I'm choosing my words carefully here. Bullshit.
Yeah. That's pretty accurate. That's the word that was in my head.
It was just not that
the most raw.
Well, we have a Facebook group and it's awesome most of the time, but there's just that the bad stuff that will never happen on Discord. But anyways, if you want to get there, Alien Theorists or patreon.com/Alien Theorist Podcast, support the show and get a bunch of bonus stuff.
How much does it cost?
You can do it for $3, $5 or more. $5 gets you everything. $3 gets you pretty much the after hours and live streams and Discord and the likes, but $5 gets you everything we do. So this week, just got a few new supporters. Zara P. Oh, fuck. Someone's always trying to fuck with me. Zara Reezy. Dan, touch my pants. That's what it says.
That's a common last name.
Zara Reezy. Dan, touch my pants. And I think that's it, actually. 21st, yeah. That's 1 week. So two new ones. End of the month, a lot of people delete. And then the start of the month, people join up. So if you want to get on there, check us out. And I got a band of the week, actually. Anything else before we sign it off for the night? Anybody?
Nope, not yet. That's it.
Boom, boom, boom. We're done. And unfortunately, I cannot play live music on the YouTube anymore. So band of the week will be played on the podcast version. But if you're watching the live stream, Patreon or others, you will not hear the music because I'm getting fucked with a little bit, so can't do it anymore. But it's on the podcast version. This week's band's called Fox, F-A-W-X. You can find them on Spotify or anywhere music is found. This song's called Ultraviolet. A nice little punk tune here. So if you're listening to the podcast, that's what you're gonna hear.
Sweet.
That's it. And as Brayden always says, keep those eyes on the sky.
Your Honor, we the jury find the defendant Sweet Tango Apples guilty on all counts of being the crispiest, sweetest, zestiest, most delicious tasting apple you can buy.
Order! Order in this courtroom! Bailiff, come back here. Where are you going?
I'm going with them. I want some Sweet Tango Apples too.
You love a great mystery, but not in the produce aisle. Be sure to reach for Sweet Tango, the most delicious tasting apple money can buy. Investigate where you can get yours at sweettango.com.